Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to a special edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I am Billy Embody, solo today, but not for long, as we welcome On3 National Scout Cody Belair to join the podcast. And Cody and Charles Power do run our rankings for On3, and it's been a flurry with camps and rankings updates to the 2025 and 2026 classes. We wanted to go ahead and bring Cody on to talk about where LSU's class is going in the class of 2025, where some of these prospects rank and why they're ranked a certain way. This is a really in-depth podcast for those recruitniks out there, and we hope you guys enjoyed it. LSU is fresh off of landing a commitment from Tyler Miller, the number one interior offensive lineman in the country. The Tigers sit with the number one recruiting class in America. It is a good time to be following recruiting for LSU, and that's why we need to have you guys subscribe to thebengaltiger.com. For just a dollar for your first month, you can get all the recruiting intel. Big recruiting weekend coming up. Myself, Shea Dixon, Matthew Bruni, covering the Tigers for you, whether it be on the recruiting trail, the floor, the court, the baseball diamond, football field. We've got it all covered for you guys there. And we're so appreciative of everybody who jumped on board with us. Before we get to the pod with Cody, though, a quick reminder to check out our friend Andy Ludeke and MyPerfectFranchise.net. They can absolutely hook you up with the right franchise for you. And that's something that is difficult to do. But Andy is a franchise consultant, and his services are 100% free, which is why we've seen some of you guys reach out to him and talk about their options and talk about what they can do for you. Because if you're ready to leave that corporate rat race for the American dream, or if you're just looking for a side hustle to earn some extra money while working your current job, or even if you just want to diversify your portfolio, build some wealth, or leave a legacy for your family, Andy can help you find that right franchise fit. He does this for a living at this point, and he has built an incredible portfolio of franchises that not only fit him, but also options for you guys out there when you're looking at maybe investing or maybe starting a business. He can help you, and that's why you need to reach out to him. Andy, A-N-D-Y, at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Give him a call, 404-973-9901. That's 404-973-9901. He'll hook you up. Services are 100% free, and he's here to help if you have any questions about business ownership. So reach out to our friend, Andy Ludeke at MyPerfectFranchise.net. So without further ado, hope you guys enjoy this special edition of the Bengal Tiger Podcast with our interview with On3 National Scout Cody Belair. Enjoy it. Welcome back to the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. I'm happy to be joined now by our next guest, Cody Belair, National Scout for On3. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate your time as always. It is that busy time of year for you with camps going on and the evaluation process ongoing, of course, turning the page of 2025. You guys just released 2026 rankings. What's this time of year like?
Busy is an understatement, Billy. It's busy. But you know what? You know, this is sort of the best part of the gig because you get to sort of regroup, right? You're moving, you put a stamp on the 2024 class, you move on to 2025, and you go, okay, clean slate. We got a year till this sucker's over. Let's start off on a high note. And you sort of really dive in to that junior tape. And then the same thing with the 26 prospects, right? You're diving into that sophomore tape and you're finally getting a good look at these guys in person, right? So that's what we're going to be doing for the next couple months, March, April, May and June. These kids are going to camps. They're going to all these events. We're going to watch these guys work out live, and seeing these kids in person is just so valuable because you watch them relative to their peers and you're getting accurate body types, and you just have a better sense of what these kids are capable of because you get to see them with your own eyeballs, and it's invaluable. But yeah, man, busy to say the least, but anytime I can hop on the pod with Billy Embody is a good day. So I'm having a good day today.
Well, we're happy to have you, and I'm happy to see your face.
Indeed.
Speaking of happy, Brian Kelly, the number one class in the country in 2025. We're going to start off there, just kind of a little teaser, if you will, mm-hmm. what all we're going to talk about. A lot of commits we'll focus on, and targets as well. And for those who listen to the pod on a regular basis, if you're a recruit, Nick, this is the guy that you want to hear from. Him and Charles Power run our rankings team, and they bring the goods for us. So we're in for a treat today. This number one class for Brian Kelly, highlighted by multiple players that are number one overall at their positions. What can you say about this class just overall in the early goings of this 2025 cycle?
Sure. Billy, I mean, it's the best class in the country at this point, and it's tough to even encapsulate, right? Like, hey, you have the top QB in the country, the top receiver in the country, the top running back in the country, the top interior offensive lineman in the country. Add two more top 100 national prospects in Jabori Antoine and Devin Harper. Two linebackers are in the boat. One is in your backyard, literally. The other is from one of the most dominant high school programs in the country and runs a legit 10-4 in the 100 meter. You got two legacy commits in J.D. LaFleur and Brett Bordelon. Oh, and you have this, you know, last but not least, right? A four-star receiver out of New Orleans to cap it all off. Billy, this is about as good of a start to a class that I think you can possibly have if you're the LSU Tigers. 11 commits, seven of which are from Louisiana. Oh, and you get Austin Thomas back in the field as a general manager, senior AD role. He brings his director of player personnel from Ole Miss to LSU and Preston Tiffany. They promote Carl St. Cyr from within to assistant director of player personnel. These guys are on fire, and I can't wait to see what they do as they get into spring visits and summer camps, because they have more momentum going into this time of year than anyone else in the country. To say they are at the mountaintop right now is an understatement, in my opinion.
And we've both spent a ton of time around LSU in our careers at various points. Cody has been, for those of you who listen to the pod, he's been on the player personnel side for multiple Power Five colleges, including LSU, Texas Tech, Baylor, and others. And look, Cody, when you look at where LSU's recruiting has progressed to, can you, as an out now, in a way,
an outsider.
Kind of point. Okay, I'm an outsider. You're kind of an outsider.
I am now.
In there hanging out with BK every day. What can you point to as far as some of the key points from an evaluation standpoint that really stand out to you with the guys they target and the guys they land?
Yeah, it's about identifying talent and committing to the recruiting process. I think at this point, especially in the cycle, right? Like, we're still a good amount of time away from signing the dotted line. But to me, especially when it comes to this top talent, they're betting on traits and they're betting on athleticism. But most importantly, they're trusting their gut. And I think there's something to that in saying, like, hey, we've identified these guys are the top players at their positions for us, right? And that's all they care about. At the end of the day, we can rank every single player number one at their position group across the board for their class. They don't care about that. They care who's going to be good players for them. And for them to identify the guys that they've identified and essentially push all their chips in and try and get these guys in the boat so early is a testament to their process and a testament to their coaches that are saying, hey, we want you to be here. They've done a good enough job recruiting and selling the vision for these guys that they've actually been able to get them in the boat and have them pull the trigger and become LSU Tigers, or at least verbally to this point. And I think it's a testament to that staff. It's a testament to their process. And essentially, they put all their chips in, and so far, it's paid off.
And speaking of paying off, we've talked at length on the podcast, and of course, you know, with offline about Bryce Underwood, Harlan Berry, guys like that. We'll get to them. But when you look at their latest commitment, Tyler Miller, one of the best prospects in the entire country, the number one interior offensive lineman for On3, what stands out to you when you look at Tyler and what he brings to the table after he jumped on board this past weekend? A little St. Patrick's Day commitment.
Hey, not a bad deal. You know, not a bad gig when you're on St. Patty's Day. You get a beer and you get a commit. Not a bad day. But he's got great size, man. Great size for the interior, right? Listed 6'5", 300 plus pounds. He's a bully. at the point of attack. You know, strong hands can really move defenders off the ball. He's a people mover, and that's what you're going to want on the interior. Not the most athletic you'll ever see, right? But he plays with such good pad level that he wins the battle of leverage consistently. He's someone that I would say is an extremely high floor prospect that has the power and punch to excel early. And I would say he's someone that could walk in and push for early playing time as an LSU Tiger when he signs the dotted line.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And, you know, Brad Davis, let's focus on him for just a second here, because we were talking before the pod. He is just on a heater. You talk about LSU being on a heater, but Brad Davis, what he's been able to do since arriving at LSU and really starting to build his recruiting base and his targets and all of those things, we're seeing it just – I mean, Bill Biedenbaugh at Oklahoma just got a extension. I believe he's now at $1 million. I think Brad Davis's agent is going to be getting pretty close here to making that call if he hasn't already.
Yeah, I would agree, man. And I, for background, right, like that's who I worked with on a day-to-day basis when I was at LSU. He's a great evaluator. He really commits time to watching all of these players. Some coaches, you know, they say like, hey, man, just give me that top 10 list and we'll figure it out. Or you tell me who to go after, I'll go after. Like, no, dude, Brad's in there. Like Brad's bringing guys in, he's bringing personnel guys in there, and he wants to know, like he wants to know, hey, who is the best guy out there? Like he's trophy hunting, to put it in layman's terms. Like he wants the big fish, but he also has a hand in identifying those guys. There's value to coaches that not only can see it at a high school level, but can coach it and recruit it. He does all three, and he does everything you would ask a position coach to do. And he's the real deal, man.
As we get into this portion of the podcast, where do you want to take this next? You tell me. I'll pull up the profile.
Sure.
Any studs to talk about? You and I were at the Under Armour Dallas camp. You were also at Houston event.
Yep.
Been all over the country. Where do you want to take this? We can go commits. We can go targets.
Let's kind of weave in and out of it, Billy, if you're good. The guy I want to talk about first is Charles Ross, if you're okay with that. So I saw him. Beautiful. I saw him at the Under Armour Houston camp, and he is as athletic as advertised, right? Love the way he runs around, and he's just so fluid. He's supernatural. Is he supernatural in coverage? Not so much, but the recovery speed is unreal. And I think the linebacker group at these events, they have the toughest time in these camp settings because they're basically put on an island and they don't get any help due to the structure of the drills, right? They don't have corners on the side. They don't have safeties over the top. You're essentially just saying, hey, go play man coverage in the middle of open grass. So it's really tough for those guys to thrive in that setting. But I got such a great look at how he was able to move in space and react to routes. And I think Ross looks and moves as we expected. And the coverability will come with time and development. From a physical standpoint, athletic standpoint, that's what they're supposed to look like.
I saw him this fall when Summer Creek played North Shore as well. And
there's
talent all over that field. And Charles Ross,
no doubt,
one that really stood out as well to me. So for Blake Baker, a really good, somewhat early eval when he got to LSU, right? You know, arrived on campus, goes and sees him, checks the box, and then he quickly offers. And that was one we'd circled. You know, if he comes through Baton Rouge, that could be – okay, you get the momentum going, and it ended up being a commitment. And LSU, as you know, wants to be in Houston, wants to be in North Shore. That's a good program to get him out of. What do you say is next for him? You mentioned the coverage and things like that.
Yeah.
Just taking this athletic, you know, freak and turning him into, you know, a true linebacker.
Right. And to me, the next step is the stuff that you are able to coach, right? The things you cannot teach are his body type and the athleticism. That's there, and it's rare, right? Those guys do not exist. So what do? You have to get him to play that fast. Now, that's something I think on film that you don't necessarily see right now. He's a legit 10-4 guy, 4-4-40 guy. You don't see him playing at that speed. And that's simply being able to diagnose and react quickly, right? That's something that I think you can sort of teach with reading his keys, right? You got to make sure his eyes are in the right place, because you can be a 4-4 guy, but your play speed's closer to 4-7 or 4-8 just because your eyes are late. That split second matters. So getting him taught up and coached up and being able to develop in terms of seeing the game faster will allow his play speed to increase in order to match that 10-4 or 4-4 speed that you see in the data.
Speaking of speed, one of the top overall prospects in the entire country, DeCorian Moore. We just saw him work out. And look, you and I talked about this when we were at Under Armour Dallas, and we were sitting there and we were saying, okay, who's the camp MVP? And you're tasked with putting that together, no doubt about it. But
sure,
the best prospect there, hands down, even though he was kind of, you know, just going through the motions, in and out of drills, you know,
yeah,
playing it safe for track season, DeCorian Moore was the best. And that's you know, ultimately why he was the MVP of that camp.
Billy, I hate throwing this term around, and I hate going into cliche mode. He's a freak. Like, he's a complete freak. It's exactly like we talked about at the Dallas camp where we were able to see him. You come into these camps with expectations for these guys, and I don't know if I could have set the bar higher for DeCorian Moore, and he still met it. Right? He's so gifted as a route runner and a pass catcher. He has such strong hands, and he's an unbelievable separator. He just makes it all look so easy. I think my comparison for him at this point is Odell Beckham Jr. The athletic ability is great. The ball skills are elite, and the route running and the ability to separate from defenders by throttling up and down and changing speeds or changing gears, which is a term that we kind of use on our side, it's textbook. He's a bona fide dude. He's as real as it gets at the receiver position.
I throw around the Jets comparison just a little bit more. And
I like, hey, oh no, two first rounders.
Yeah, I know. We're splitting.
What a tough time.
he is. We've seen Jamar Chase, Terrace Marshall, Justin Jefferson, guys come through LSU in particular. And you see wide receivers across the country. Sometimes they need a little bit of time to be that dude for their programs. What do you see from him his first year? Is he a guy that is going to step in? And one, they should lean on him with his talent, but do you see him just seamless?
I think he could.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal with it, and the thing that's brutal, right? Again, very tough problem to have. LSU's hit rate at receiver right now is sky high. It's ridiculous. You just had two cats go for, you're potentially going to have two cats go first round here in Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers. But the way you've been able to recruit at that room and pump out talent, it's hard for me to say DeCorian's going to come in and win a starting job, right? Just because the history is so good and you've had so many guys hit there, you have to assume that some of these guys this season in particular are going to step up. And I think this year will tell you if DeCorian's going to walk in and win a job or not. There's guys like Chris Hilton that I think play that exact role that I could see DeCorian Moore walking into. And who's to say Chris Hilton might come in and play a crazy amount of snaps and ball out and really take strides in his game. And you might see, you know, him step into that number one, number two role, whatever. But golly, I have to imagine when DeCorian steps out on the field and starts going through practice, somebody in there is going to be like, hey, he has to play. Like, guys, he's got to play. I don't know what to tell you, but he got to get him the ball somehow.
It's hot out there in Baton Rouge, but they're going to be feeling a little hotter when he's out there.
100%. 100%. You special.
When you look at LSU's receivers right now, they've got DeCorian Moore committed. They've got Teron Francis committed as well. They're going after some of the cream of the crop. And one guy we want to focus on as well is Kalik Lockett. And he's a prospect that you guys and you know, have him right up there near, you know, DeCorian Moore. You know, after the latest 2025 update, what do you see from him? And, you know, if LSU can get him, I mean, obviously that would be huge, but what does he bring to the table and what might be a little different from DeCorian?
Yeah, you set this up phenomenal, but this is why you're a professional. You set this up perfect, right? Because when you look at Kalik, we saw him at the UA Houston camp, and that receiver group was loaded, to be fair. Like, just a heads up, everyone. That group had about 10 to 15 Power 5 receivers out there, and I still came away from that camp thinking that Kalik Lockett might have some of the best tools at the position in the entire country, right? He's the thing that makes him different, and that's why I give you the credit of setting this up, because he's long and he's such a creature from a catch radius standpoint, right? He plucks the ball away from his frame with ease. He's so smooth getting in and out of his breaks at the top of his routes. He has his fair share of plays during one-on-one period too, where he just cooks the corners, right, on go balls and eats yards with his long strides. I felt that he confirmed that his physical and athletic traits are real, right? And his upside is as high as any receiver in the 25 cycle. The thing that he brings differently, especially when you look at it from an LSU standpoint, look at the guys they signed last year, right? 6 foot, 5'11", 5'11", 6 foot, more of your stereotypical Z type receivers, right? Are complementary options. Kalik, there ain't no question. Kalik Lockett's an X. Like, that's a number one. Like, that's what was the long tall kid? Billy Ott, right? Callen Billy Ott. That, where you're just like, wow, that guy is a physical, athletic freak in nature. We'll develop him from a traits perspective. Kalik's got that already. Like, he's advanced technically and as a pass catcher. So he brings a true big body X type option to that room potentially. And he's about as gifted as anybody as I've seen at receiver this year.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you want to hit on anyone else on the offensive side in 2025 commits, targets?
I would like to mention the Bryston Martinez kid. He's a puppy, right? He's just a baby. He's young, but he's from the state, right? So he showed some good flashes at UA Houston. I just wanted to touch on him because he brought the stuff that you wanted to see. Right? The frame absolutely checks out. He's long and he's athletically built for the tackle position. He's got a body that's going to carry a good amount of mass, but still should be able to move and be light on his feet. I thought he was very under control during the one-on-one period. I want to see him be a little more confident in his footwork, right? And begin to marry that lower half to his upper half. And he's got moments where he gets a little too excited and he starts to lunge and gets a little waist bendy over his toes, but that's all coaching, right? That's what collegiate O-line coaches are there to teach. They can't teach the size and movement skills, but they can hone that special piece of clay and mold it into a better football player. So he's got some rawness to his game right now, but he'll continue to put more of the puzzle pieces together with time and development. I just really like the piece of clay he is right now, and he's in the home state. So I think that's somebody I wanted to make note of in the 2026 class that you're trying to get to stay home.
East Ascension, Cam Wire, Adrian Ealy. I mean, when they have a offensive lineman, they got quite a dude.
No doubt.
So no Bryce doubt. Martinez, good one. Another one we saw at LSU camp last summer as well.
He's no doubt.
Very much on the radar, top 20 prospect for On3 now. When it comes to the defensive side of the ball, let's save the best for last. Let's stick with 2025.
Sure.
Or go back to 2025 and a prospect that LSU is trying to make waves with, recruiting him at safety. Blake Baker has some ties to Galveston ball. And that's Jonah Williams, one of the prettiest guys out there in the country and a 5-star on the On3 industry ranking.
No question. And this is one I'm going to get on my soapbox a little on here, Billy. I've been roller coastering with this one, to be honest with you. Like, Jonah Williams is a super interesting one for us, but I think I gained some clarity after seeing him work out in person at Houston. And we have him currently ranked as a linebacker, right? But he worked out at safety at the camp. He even took a couple reps at receiver, which was a delight. And after watching his junior film, you see the athleticism pop off the screen, right? You don't see 6'3", 205 move the way he does on a football field. He plays basketball. He's going to get drafted in baseball. Like, the movement skills are spectacular. But when you're projecting the linebacker, and I touched this with Charles Ross, right? The ability to come downhill and trigger to the football is extremely important, right? Being able to stick your face into traffic, get dirty between the hashes, that translates to thriving at inside linebacker at the next level and beyond. And you don't see a ton of that on his junior tape, which is why he slid down in our latest rankings release for 2025s. However, that's when it sort of hit me in the face at the camp, right? I don't think he's a linebacker. I think he's going to be a safety at the next level. And I'm glad to hear LSU's recruiting him as a safety. I think that's what he is. And you have to change the scope in which you evaluate him as a prospect. Watching him cover and move around in space with the lens of him as a DB and not as a linebacker raises the bar in which you measure his athletic ability. And I still felt that he met the bar, right? He ran in the 4.5s in the 40 at 205 pounds, and he looks so comfortable in coverage, Billy. I can't emphasize how fluid and smooth he is at that size. That is not normal. And he even flashed the ball skills, right? Making a couple catches on offense, like I said. He had an interception in the back of the end zone on a seam that is quite literally teach tape for carrying guys up the seam. His skill set, body type, and athletic ability is eerily similar to Deshaun McBride. And that's someone that we had, I think, is the highest rated commit in LSU's class last year. A linebacker frame with DB athleticism and a skill set that, you know, to me, it just screams safety. I know the body type looks like linebacker, and you could probably put weight on and figure that out, but just let the guy do what he does well. And I think if there's one guy I got more clarity on than any other player I've seen so far this spring, it's Jonah Williams.
Grant Delpit comp, maybe?
Oof, man. Maybe. That's tough, too. Again, I don't hate that. Oh man, honestly, that's a really good comp. That's probably, I mean, that's the same physical mold, right? That you're looking at with guys like Deshaun McBride. These dudes are tall, they're long. Could you fill them out to walk them down? Maybe. That would be my only discrepancy with Grant, is being like, he was still, even though he was tall and he was long, he was still leaner athletic.
Yeah.
I think you look at Jonah and you're like, oh, that kid's going to play at 230 pounds. Like, in zero issue, right? Like, zero bad weight. That's my, if I had to give a comp body type wise, think like Eric Reed.
Oh, I like that.
Where he's standing back there and you're like, sir, you're a Will linebacker. What are you doing at center field?
Get out the drill.
Yeah. You're like, sir, you are, somebody hold his hand and put him in the right place, because he is not supposed to be back there. That's what Jonah Williams looks like. Like, he's a freak of nature. I was pleasantly surprised with the way he moved around.
Yeah, we'll see if LSU can make some headway there, but he's one of the standouts and you know, testing and all the things that you look for when you look at these prospects that are impressing over the course of this spring and with these camps. So definitely wanted to show him some love for the work he did out there as well. I mean, it's time.
Number Thanos.
Thanos, number one overall prospect for On3 in the class 2026. There are going to be some Jakeem Stewart babies if LSU lands this man when it comes down to decision day. And the On3 RPM there sitting pretty for LSU early on.
Sure.
Out of St. Aug, Frank Wilson, they've got to get this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still giggling at that Jakeem Stewart baby line. That is gold. That's really good.
There's not many. I mean, we're going to probably see some Bryce Underwood babies.
Sure.
But anyway. We're off the rails now, courtesy of me. But Jakeem Stewart is just as pretty as they come. We have known about him and known him for so long now.
Yep.
But Jakeem Stewart, I mean, he is the number one player in the country for a reason.
Right. Yeah. Billy, I mean, he's physically and technically maybe the most advanced sophomore I've ever seen, right? He's built like a damn create a player. Like, in the fact that he has the understanding of leverage in space, because here's the deal, Billy, like, there's a lot of kids that look the part, right? Like you can look the part and that's awesome, right? That does help, right? It plays a factor. But having the advanced technical ability at 16 years old should not be, and looking the way he does, that's not normal, right? He's got the understanding of leverage in space as like a college senior, like a draft ready prospect. I'm going to nitpick though here, Billy, because he is the top player in 26, right? He's a freak show. And I think every time someone's going to talk about Jakeem Stewart for the next couple years or whatever, when it comes to the recruiting side of things, everyone's going to love him up, right? And they're going to talk about all these things he does amazing and this and that, whatever. He's not perfect, right? I want to point that out to people. Like there's still things that you see that make you sort of say like, all right, he's not a complete 100% no-brainer, no-doubter prospect, right? He's probably as close as you're going to get, but he's not perfect, right? Watching him work out and go through drills at UA Houston, you do see some hip tightness, right? He's got a little bit and you kind of worry about him getting in his stance, going against some of the top premier interior guys at the next level. Like if they get underneath his pads, it's a little worrying. However, it's nitpicking, right? It's something to be aware of. When you look at the athletic ability and the ability to get underneath blockers, it's a little worrisome. However, in the one-on-one period, you get that, it goes away completely. You forget about all everything I just said because he's able to mask that lack of flexibility with his hand usage and length. Like he's got close to a 7-foot wingspan, which means his shoulders are broad and his arms are ridiculously long. And that allows him to strike blockers first and gain control of his man 9 times out of 10. Plus, even if he gets stopped, and this is where we talk about the advanced technique, right? Even if he gets stopped on his first move, he has the feel and understanding of space in order to effectively counter and battle through contact, which 16-year-old kids in high school do not know how to do. That is not normal. So with all that being said, this is an absolute must get for LSU. There's no other way to put it. This is an absolute need, especially along the defensive front. You have to take this guy, and he has to be priority number one for 2026.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, and LSU with Bo Davis is going to continue to address the defensive line position. We know they finished strong with Dominic McKinley and Gabriel.
Yeah, 24. For sure.
They're laying that foundation. 25, they've got a wide net cast on that. Once we see some commits roll in, we'll have to have you back on to talk about some of them. But with Jakeem, I mean, it's crazy to think about him having his junior year ahead, then senior. So a lot of development to come. And he is a prospect that you almost worry. I mean, he's one of the rare Louisiana prospects that you could argue that he's like almost overtrained, but he's also taking it just, you know, he's doing all the right things throughout his process, especially right. For how on the scene he was as a 7th grader, 8th grader, whatever. I mean, as a middle schooler, we knew he would be this type of a guy.
Right. And I think, you know, it's the physical advancement that opens people's eyeballs. Like I'm telling you, and you can attest to this, right? Like you see the cat walk in the building. Like I'll tell you what, we had about like 20 to 25 media guys there at Under Armour Houston. And we're all just kind of standing on the sideline, right? And you're looking across the field and you're like, oh, that kid looks good. Like, oh yeah, that body type looks good. Guys, when Jakeem Stewart walks on the field, every head turns around. Like legit. I mean, every single head goes, who the hell is that? Like he's that physically imposing and he's looked like that. Like you said, right. Since he was like an 8th grader, like it's unbelievable. And to your point about being overtrained, I think to your point, that is obviously a testament to like why he looks the way he looks. And like, he has such advanced movements hand technique and stuff like that. The other part of this is the size, right? Like, I mean, he is 6'5". It's going to be tough for him to get that low to the ground, especially with the hip flexibility. But you can work on that. And I think he does need to address it sooner rather than later, right? Because once those hips, they can get stiff. Yeah, testament. Hey, that's exactly right. Like, hand up. My hips are a little tight. But that's something you can work on. And I would say, like, Corey Raymond was always a big believer in that with DBs. And you'll never hear any other coach in America say you can fix hip stiffness. Corey Raymond believes you can fix hip stiffness. And it goes with doing yoga, goes with doing Pilates. You have to work on that muscle. It's just something that people don't take a ton of time to work on. And I think that's something Jakeem Stewart can really address early on and still be plenty loose in the hips in order to succeed at the next level and beyond.
Let's wrap up with this, because you do know quite a few of the guys that are on the staff.
Sure.
This recruiting staff, just overall, I know we've talked about the eval standpoint, but what they did last season to address the defensive side, I mean, it's been a minute since the amount of talent that's on this coaching staff has in recruiting has been there, like
right
it is right now.
Yeah.
Just leaving that open-ended for you. What do you think?
Dude, it's fun, man. Like, I will say, like, I was around when Blake Baker was there. I was around when Corey Raymond was there. Jake Olson, safeties coach, shout out to Jake. He was like an analyst, I think, at the time when I was there. And it's cool to see him come into this role. And Bo Davis is somebody you've heard about for forever at this point, right? The thing that I think this staff is going to do such a good job of, and I think it's one of the more underappreciated things when it comes to coaching, right? Because what's the goal of coaching, right? It's to develop your players, and it's to get the most out of your guys. I think this group of coaches is absolutely going to get the most out of their guys, because those coaches are good dudes. That's to me, and that's something I've been working in college football for almost a decade now. There's a lot of bad dudes, man. There's a lot of not great coaches and not a lot of great people. There's a lot of good people on that defensive staff, man. And the kids know that. Like, those kids feel that. They can tell when a coach is bought in and a coach is bought into not only the player and what the players give them, right? Like, hey, if you have a first round pick, that helps every coach, right? That helps their career. That helps their longevity in this business. But those kids can tell when a coach is bought into the person, right? When they go and they go to do these team dinners, right? They have them over, they meet their families, they meet their kids. Like, all of those defensive coaches are about that life. And I think you're going to see that play out on the field and in the recruiting, right? I mean, these kids are going to show up on campus here in the spring and summer. They're going to get some dudes that pop solely because of that.
So you heard it here first. When people on our message board say, trust the coaches, Cody's saying you can trust the LSU coaches right now, but it is not a universal thing. So keep that in mind as we go through our futures or other fan bases listening to this. Yeah, trust the coaches in certain spots. LSU staff right now is definitely in a trust them spot right now.
They're in a great spot. In a great spot, man.
Well, Cody, thanks so much for joining the Bengal Tiger podcast. We really appreciate it. All the hard work you guys do behind the scenes, it doesn't go unnoticed. And look, LSU fans, very, very pleased with your rankings as well. So let's keep it that way, right?
You know, I'm on the good side right now. You never know how it goes in a couple months.
Well, Cody, thanks for joining the pod. We'll have you back on again. And thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you as always, Billy. This was a treat. So I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Thanks for joining this edition of the Bengal Tiger Recruiting Podcast. Hit that subscribe button. Follow us on YouTube or wherever you catch the podcast at. And we'll catch you on thebengaltiger.com. Subscribe for just $1 today.